question. This has been asked by several devotees. What is the significance of the Ekadashi Parana time? Why does the Ekadashi have to be broken at that particular time itself? I am posting a brief summary of the explanation that His Grace Bhaktarup Prabhu, a senior ISKCON devotee scholar, gave me when I asked him for some clarifications. And I am grateful to him for the answer, and I will explain the answer in the audio over here. So, basically, the broad rule is that the fast has to be broken when the next sunrise starts. We cannot break before that. So the starting time is determined by the sunrise. And the ending time generally is 1/3 of the full day. That means it will roughly be around several hours into the morning that comprise, say, 1/3 of the day, of the daylight time basically. Now, this is the broad framework, but within this, there are variations. The starting time may vary because the sunrise time can vary from place to place, and not just from place to place, but even from day to day at the same place, especially from month to month and season to season. So, generally, the starting time is determined by the sunrise. Now, after that, there are certain exceptions. And these exceptions are quite a few. That's why there is further change that happens. So, I'll give an example of two exceptions over here. The Ekadashi Tithi plus 25% of the Dwadashi Tithi. Now, Tithi is a lunar day. A lunar day means that the time during we have 360 degrees revolution, depending on whichever system of reference we are using, geocentric. The Earth, say the Moon is going around the Earth, so 360 degrees. Within that, actually the lunar tithi is 12 degrees each. So, for corresponding to each day, there are 12 degrees. So, 0 to 12 degrees is Pratipat Tithi, then 12 to 24 is Dvitiya Tithi, 168 to 180 will be Purnima Tithi, and 348 to 360 degrees will be Amavasya Tithi. So, now there is, as you know, the lunar calendar and the solar calendar. The days can be measured differently depending on which calendar system we are referring to. So, now, the tithis in the Vedic calendar, especially Ekadashi and other tithis, are measured based on the lunar calendar. So, now sometimes, during exceptions, when there is a period called Harivasara, so the period of Lord Hari, at that time, we have to the Ekadashi Tithi gets extended into the Dwadashi Tithi. So, that means that Ekadashi plus 25% of the Dwadashi Tithi, that much time has to get over before we can break the fast. So, now, at the same time, we also have the other thing that the fast has to be broken before the 1/3 of the time that is over in terms of the day of the Dwadashi Tithi. So now, this can create a little bit of a tight schedule because between 25% of the Dwadashi and 33% of the Dwadashi, which is 1/3, which is roughly 1/3 of the daytime hours actually, not just the Dwadashi, but 1/3 of the daytime hours, then there can be a very narrow time limit. So that's why in some Ekadashis we have only 10 minutes, 15 minutes, sometimes 5 minutes, 8 minutes to break the fast. So this happens on these exceptional situations. Then after that, there are other exceptions like here, the Vanjali Ekadashi, Vanjali Mahadashi. Now, because the Dwadashi Tithi ends soon after sunrise, so this is, if this is getting too technical, The broad principle over here is that we generally have to break the fast after the sunrise and before 1/3 of the day of the Dwadashi. And there are exceptions which can cause variations. So now we may wonder, what is the reason for so specific timings? In the Vedic culture, it is understood that transcendence is not just transcendental, but it is also accessible through certain material manifestations, like certain times, certain places, certain sounds. So that's how we have holy places, we have holy names, we have holy days. So basically, these are days which are, these are timings during which transcendence becomes more accessible to us. So just as we can have a holy place, similarly Krishna, who is transcendental, can manifest not just in a holy place but also in a holy time. So then during those holy times, when certain extra benefits are available for us for the practice of spirituality, then when those holy periods are ending, then there is a cutoff point. And at that time, when we follow that rule of breaking the fast at a particular time, we get the full benefit of that. So the idea is that there are material factors which at different times affect our consciousness in different ways. So in a sense, our consciousness, at least purely, is transcendental. In certain, in our present conditions, it becomes materially contaminated. But Krishna is always transcendental, and when the connection between Krishna and our consciousness can be established by our effort through devotional service at all times. But at certain times, at certain places, through certain sounds, this connection can become more vivid. So just as we can pray to Krishna by our own words, and we can pray by chanting the mantras. Now both are prayers, both are means to connect with Krishna, but certain means are more powerful. So the holy name is much, much more powerful because it is a manifestation which Krishna has himself made his presence declared in the scriptures over here. So the same applies to the sacred timings like Ekadashi. Now, just as we have, when we enter a holy place, we offer obeisances. Similarly, when we enter a holy time and when we depart from a holy time, there are certain activities which are done at that particular timing. So that's how this precise timing is there. Now, I'm explaining this from the transcendental perspective. There is also a non-transcendental or a material perspective based on karmakanda understanding. Karmakanda bases itself on doing good things, punya, to get good results. Now this is involving higher powers and higher agencies. There are devatas and there are higher factors which determine the results that we get in our day-to-day life. And those results are dependent on certain precise factors. Just like in science, if we have to do a particular experiment, we have to do certain things at certain times. If I have to mix two elements, then I may have to mix this much at this time, and then as the heat is going on further, then I mix another element. So there are processes involved over there. So similarly, from material perspective, there are three modes are constantly there, and there are certain subtle factors which determine certain results. So the alignment of the planets and the position, especially of the sun, the moon and the sky, have effects on how certain material factors turn out. So this whole then goes into the area of Jyotishya. So astrology itself is a precise science, but it is much more subtle than what we understand. And its basic principle is that the alignment of planets, it affects our consciousness internally and it affects the events that happen to us externally. How does this happen? Because those planets and their positions are not determined just by impersonal, insentient laws, but they are also determined by the action of conscious individuals who are administrators in the universal government, and by whose will those planets are following certain laws in their motion and in their particular specific position. So basically these are agencies by which we get the results of our karma. The karma can be the what we had in the past, it can be the punya that we are doing now. So that's from the karma kanda point of view. But as devotees, we don't bother too much about the transcendent of the material karma kanda aspect. We focus more on how we can best connect with Krishna. And that's why we observe the Ekadashi fast and break it at a particular time. Because that enables us to refine and intensify our connection with Krishna, taking shelter of that specific period, which is sacred. Thank you.